Hello and welcome to another edition of the End Zone Podcast. My name is Eric Jensen, and today I am joined by my good friend Chris Castain, back in time from overthrowing the Qing Dynasty. So good for you, Chris. You did your part there. Joining us today is, for the first time ever, Tony DeHoffman, who is at Chiefs Kingdom on Twitter. How you doing, fella?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
I'm
Thanks for
doing
having me.
great. Hey, it's our pleasure. We Tony's new at PSF, and he's gonna join us today. Big Chiefs fan, is that right, Tony?
Absolutely. Chiefs fan for life.
Ah, good stuff. Who's your favorite player on the roster right now?
Justin Houston is my favorite player on the roster right now. The dude's a beast.
Yeah, he's having a completely underrated defensive year. He and Calais Campbell are two guys that are getting overlooked for defensive player of the year right now, in my opinion.
Agreed. I'm glad he's back and healthy.
He needed a big year, and he's definitely giving it to him. So who's your favorite NFL player of all time? Doesn't have to be on the Chiefs.
It's still going to be on the Chiefs, and I'm going to go with
All right.
the late great Derek Thomas.
Okay.
Man was the king of all beasts. I think he was the best pass rusher ever. I know
Okay.
LT's out there, but that's where I'm sticking with it.
All right. Well, good to hear that you're opinionated. We like that here. Isn't that right, Chris?
Oh, I'm doing pretty good. How about yourself?
I'm doing great. All right. Moving on, really to the week of football that we just had behind us. It was a week that we thought was going to be no good and crazy and just. It turned out being like one of the better weeks of NFL football all year. Yeah, the NFL has really bounced back with their on-field product in a nice way this year. A lot of entertaining games, some big injuries this week that really changed the whole aspect of the NFC. That's what we call a tease here in the business. But we are going to start with good old Monday Night Football, which featured the Colts and the Titans. I watched that game closely and really enjoyed what I saw. Jacoby Brissett had a fantastic night at quarterback. Even though they lost, they really lost because Jack Doyle dropped passes and Dante Moncrief was not himself. But Jacoby Brissett was on fire all night, and if Jack Doyle and Dante Moncrief don't drop touchdown passes, we're looking at a night where Jacoby Brissett has close to four touchdowns and over 300 yards. And he had a pretty good night yardage wise anyways. In my latest quarterback rankings, I had him at 18. Chris, I know you like to disagree with me. I'm gonna throw it to you first. Do you think 18 is too high to have Jacoby Brissett right now?
Yeah, a little bit because one, I don't rate rookies high.
He's
Not
not a
how
rookie
any
though.
rookie.
He played a year behind Brady in New England.
Well, it feels like a rookie, but whatever. I'm just not high on him. I don't know. I just haven't seen one. Hold on a second.
You good? All right. Tony, what did you think about Monday Night Football?
The game was actually better than I expected, and I'm with you. I'm very high on Brissett. For just a few weeks ago, he's looking really good over there in Indianapolis.
Yeah, I was incredibly impressed with how surprisingly well the Colts defense played as well. They scored a defensive touchdown. They got pressure on Mariota. Thought Mariota had a great game despite being kind of injured. He was forced to be a pocket passer, but I think when he's a classic kind of quarterback like that, he is at his best. Would you agree with that?
I'm going to disagree a little bit. I think he eventually settled into the pocket role because he had to. But I think taking away the running game from Mariota, excuse me, I think that brings his game down a little bit, honestly.
Who do you like better in that backfield right now, DeMarco Murray or Derrick Henry?
I'm a huge Derrick Henry guy, and I'm going to be honest with you. I'm in two fantasy football money leagues, and I have that guy, so I'm obviously biased. But I think that guy's a beast. I think Murray's injured, and I think they'd be smart to rest him this week going up against Cleveland, and they come into that bye.
Yeah, great get healthy game against the terrible Browns this week.
I think
Chris,
the biggest
they put Murray down for the Browns game and the bye week, and let Henry just kill these guys next week. I think he could do it on his own.
Do his thing. Chris.
Yep.
What do you got to say here?
I think the biggest storyline coming out of this game is the Tennessee Titans offensive line. It's looked improved compared to what we've seen the past several weeks. They had a very good rushing game this week. Marcus Mariota was protected better than he has been, and other quarterbacks have been under that offensive line. I think if we see that offensive line, I think they still have a chance in this division, but they've been so inconsistent, I'm not sure.
Yeah, the AFC South is really wide open at this point.
Yes.
The Jaguars, I mean, they can't fall behind to win games, but if they get a lead and lean on their defense, they can win games. I thought that the Colts offensive line, for losing a starter earlier in the week and how much flack they've gotten all year, I really believe that the Colts offensive line looked better than the Titans offensive line last night. Jacoby Brissett really wasn't under pressure most of the night, only got hit twice and sacked once. And that was in the fourth quarter when Tennessee's defense needed to step up and did. Another guy, Marlon Mack, I'm very, very excited. John was talking about him last week, and we'll throw it to a little fantasy thing right now, I guess. I'm taking Marlon Mack in a lot of leagues next week because he could get some big plays. Or is that just me, Tony?
Absolutely not. He's another guy that I have stashed on both of my benches, and I cannot wait for him to blow up. If I'm not mistaken, Turbin was hurt this week for the rest of the year.
Yeah,
so I expect
him
to get a few more
snaps
going forward.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, man. I'm really big on Mack, though. He's a beast. He's a guy that has a lot of talent, and I know they love Gore. But eventually you got to make way for the young guy.
Yeah, I love Gore just because I'm a football fan, and I love Frank Gore, and he's still got it, by the
way.
Like,
absolutely.
They have a fantastic backfield there. I don't think Gore is in any danger of losing his starting job. In fact, I think it helps Gore. I think Mack helps Gore because they can limit Gore's touches, and I could see Gore playing for another 2-3 years if they have Mack and they use Gore in more of a third down back kind of role going forward.
Yeah, I agree. It's odd that this guy at 34 is still kicking like that, but if you watch the guy in pass protection, I mean, he's taking linebackers out. He's just destroying people, and he's still got it as far as running as well.
Yeah, moving on, I'll throw it to Chris. A rough weekend of football for you, Chris. The Dolphins came back and really embarrassed the Atlanta Falcons on Sunday. I haven't gotten a chance to watch this game on Game Pass yet, but I'm going to throw it to you here. What happened? What went wrong? Why was Jay Cutler and Gutty comeback in the same sentence? That seems wrong.
Because the Falcons choke like they do every week lately. We just saw them choke against who did they play before the bye?
The Bills.
We saw them choke against the Bills, and we really saw them choke against the Dolphins. Like, I just, offensively, I'm not sold on Steve Sarkisian. I haven't been, and I won't be, because he hasn't kept the same system. I don't know if it's just taking time for Matt Ryan to get used to him, but they're just off. It's all on offense. It's not defensively. Their offense just can't keep up this year so far. And because honestly, this team should be probably 1-4. Really, yeah. I mean,
I would disagree with that. I thought that the first 2 weeks, the Bears game was a little bit symptomatic of what's happened to them. But then they went home and they shut down the Packers offense, which exploded afterwards. So I think you gotta tip your hat to Atlanta a little bit, and I think they'll get it figured out. I don't think they're going to be nearly as dominant, but I could see them, and I'm not sure I'd have them winning the division anymore. And we'll get to that right now. The Saints defense really stepped up on Sunday, and I'm high on the Saints right now. I think that Drew Brees is playing as well as he always does. Now they have a running game in Melvin and Mark Ingram and Alvin Kamara, and their defense got three defensive touchdowns, which is the most defensive scores they've had. Actually, the first amount that they've had since 2011, which is insane to think about, that the defense didn't score a touchdown for about 6 years. Tony, what do you think? Do you think the Saints should be looked at as the favorite to win the NFC South right now?
I don't think so. I'm going to disagree with you on the defense. I love Drew Brees. I love Mark Ingram and Alvin Kamara. I think the defense was kind of fluky this weekend. I don't think that you're going to see that a lot going forward. They're improved, but I don't think they're that great.
I disagree. I think there's enough of a sample size. You saw what they did to a bad Dolphins offense in London. If you're able to shut out a bad offense and hold a explosive quarterback like Matthew Stafford to what they held him to, and the scoreline's deceiving. Most of the points that Detroit got were on special teams, two kick returns, and a defensive touchdown. Matt Stafford had one of his worst games of the year. Yes, he threw three touchdowns, also threw three interceptions, though. I don't think that this defense is by any means top 10, but I think they're good enough to drag them into the playoffs.
Now, I'd say they're improved, but if they're going to make the playoffs, it's going to be based on that offense, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Right, but I'm saying in the past, the defense really held them back. I don't think this defense is holding that team back.
We can agree there, yes. They're definitely improved.
All right. Good to hear.
But you could. They were so bad last year that anything would have been improvement this year. Like,
and I think one thing to remember, two things to remember. Any time there's a London game, you have the caveat of everybody having to travel to a different time zone and deal with all the excess stuff that comes with that. And then when you look at the Lions game, Stafford was
hobbled. That's fair.
Stafford wasn't
only
playing.
Time will tell. Tony, who do you have winning the NFC South right now? And why?
I would have to say right now, I'd say Carolina, because I think their defense is pretty solid. Their running game is going to get better, and I think Cam's going to get healthy.
I do agree. Carolina looks like the favorite right now. The Falcons just can't get themselves together on offense. The defense has looked pretty good all season for the most part, but I'm just not sold on offense, and I think Carolina will straighten it out. And right now, they look like they're the division favorite.
Just to make a point on the Falcons, I think the loss of Kyle Shanahan was huge for them. I don't think they're going to bounce back offensively. I don't think they're going to get it together this year.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, they've got a nice defensive break next week when the Patriots come into town. The Patriots, of course, coming off of a narrow win against.
Who do you have winning this division?
Right now, I think I'd have to say the Saints, and it's not the Panthers because I think Cam Newton re-injured his shoulder, to be honest. On the play, if you will remember, where in the third quarter he flew basically over the pylon, should have been a touchdown, didn't get called. He landed really awkwardly on that left shoulder, which he had just had surgery on. And then throughout the rest of the game, like, he went from being a good quarterback and throwing all kinds of darts to he had about three passes in the fourth quarter that could have been interceptions and should have been interceptions, and a fourth one that was. I don't think he's healthy right now, and I don't think they have a good enough running game to win the division, although I do think that their defense is far and above the best defense in that division.
Absolutely.
But the Falcons will get a nice defensive break next week when the Patriots come to town. The Patriots, of course, who came off a narrow victory against the New York Jets. Someone call it the Jets should have won that game because of a last-second touchdown catch by Austin Safarian Jenkins, which was called a fumble out of the end zone for a touchback. I'd like to start with you, Tony. Did you see this play? Do you think they made the right call?
I saw the play. That was the worst call I've probably ever seen in 20 years of watching football. That was horrible. Jets were robbed.
Yeah.
That was a terrible call. It was totally a touchdown. I mean, I cannot believe that they didn't see that was a touchdown.
Yeah, it almost seemed like the refs were looking out for the league's Patriots. You know, they wanted to win that game, honestly.
Yeah, true that. Moving on to what else happened in that game. Josh McCown really tore apart a defense that was lackluster, to say the most. He had 357 yards through the air. He made some bad throws in the second half, which really ended the game, but he had a fantastic first half. What did you think of Josh McCown, and what do you think of the Jets in general right now, Tony?
The Jets, I think, are playing above their talent level. Josh McCown is what he is. Obviously, he's not going to turn into an all-pro. You know, he's more of a backup guy that's just kind of leading the less than talented team. I would have loved to see them beat the Patriots, but I think that would have been their Super Bowl for the year. I don't see them as real contenders.
Yeah, I don't disagree there.
I wouldn't say they're contenders, but at this point, I don't think it would it shock you, Chris, if they went 8-8? I don't think that's too out of the ordinary. I could see them winning five more games.
So we're talking 8-8. Based on their schedule, no, because their schedule looks tough. I see, because you got Dolphins, Falcons. Dolphins, that's a winnable game. I mean, the Dolphins just haven't looked good. I think the Atlanta game was a fluke. Their offense isn't what it looked like in that second half. But you've got, especially towards the end of the year, you have six games that I see are losses. I see five wins, six wins. Better than they were last year, but this team is at an 8-8 team.
I'd have to disagree there, but only time will tell on that one. Moving on to something that time is a massive factor here. That was an awful segue. But Aaron Rodgers, collarbone, out for the year, most likely. I'm going to say definitely here just because it's his right throwing shoulder, and that's really what the Packers are making it sound like. What do we think of the Packers right now, and more specifically, what do we think about the rest of the NFC North and really the NFC? Who's going to really value and take control of this empty spot that the Packers are going to leave? I'll start with you, Chris.
This is tough. The Packers are done. I know you disagree. You think that they have a chance, or is this what you told me the other day? I don't know what you think now. You may say differently.
I don't think I told you that. I think I said that they're not going to lose the rest of their games, but they're not going to win the division. It wouldn't shock me if they squeaked in as a wild card team, but we haven't really seen Brett Hundley yet. We haven't really seen what kind of a quarterback he is. They played most of the second half of that game without their center and two tackles and concussion protocol. I think that you can't give up on Brett Hundley just yet. I think we got to see a little bit of a bigger sample size before we completely count out the Packers. But I'm close.
I think, I'm completely out on the Packers. I think Minnesota should be heavy favorites. Based off schedule, their schedule is easy based for the most part. I mean, I see five games that could be toss ups with Redskins, Rams, Falcons. that's about it. I mean, I think the Vikings are in a better situation. I think the quarterback situation will handle itself. They're going to win. I think, like I said, I think they're going to win the division. Detroit still has a chance for a wild card, but we've seen Detroit just fall off the radar the past couple weeks completely. Although they haven't played well against NFC South teams, I don't feel good about the Lions right now. As far as taking control, basically taking the Packers' spot, it has to be Minnesota. Like, I'm just going to say it. Minnesota's going to take the Packers' spot.
Yeah, I don't disagree. I think I'm going with Minnesota. Tony, who do you got in this division right now?
We're all in on Minnesota. I think as long as they have one quarterback healthy out of those three, I think their defense is good enough to get the job done in the NFC South with the other injuries that are going on in that division. As far as Brett Hundley, though, I think he's going to improve and win some games there. But like you said, he's not going to win enough to win that division. But I'm all in on Minnesota at this point.
Yeah, although I wouldn't be shocked if they snuck in. The Packers are probably at best going 8-8, 9-7 this year. So hopefully,
yeah, I would agree.
Hopefully, Brett Hundley still makes it a fun team to watch, because they've got a lot of primetime games coming up, and hopefully, the NFL uses their flex schedule for good, which we thought they didn't this week when they did not flex out Giants Broncos.
Well, let me ask the question on that one. I don't mean to interrupt, but there's a certain point in the season where they start doing that. Have we passed that point, or is it too early for them to do that?
They could have started flexing things out last week, I believe.
Is that right? Okay, yeah, I wasn't sure of the date on that.
This is week six that we just finished. They can start flexing games out at week five.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. But the Giants went in and really embarrassed my Denver Broncos, which leads me to my grievances with the current Denver Broncos team. The fact that you couldn't get a sack against one of the worst offensive lines in the league until the third quarter is embarrassing. The fact that you were only able to get one sack. The fact that Eric Flowers shut down Shaq Barrett and Derek Wolf and Von Miller for an entire game is embarrassing. The fact your corners, which you boast are the best in the league, couldn't stop a bunch of D3 wide receivers from tearing you apart in prime time is definitely not acceptable. And the fact that I had to suffer through and watch Brock Osweiler throw three passes in this game is too many passes. The fact that Trevor Siemian threw two interceptions against a Giants defense that we have been underrating, I can understand that. But I'm very upset with the Denver Broncos because they have gone from leading me to believe that they could go deep into the playoffs to right now, I'd be happy if they just got 9 wins. But I think they're a 7-9 or 8-8 team. Tell me why I'm wrong.
I think you're right on, man, unfortunately. I mean, for you, because I'm a Chiefs fan. But I thought Von Miller was going to go out there and tear those guys up. I was shocked, like you said, that they didn't get a sack until the third quarter. That's just unreal to me.
You need to cut Brandon McManus, by the way. Tony, you've just joined the show, but I am somewhat of a kicking expert. I've never actually kicked a field goal. I have infamously dinged a 1-yard field goal off the crossbar in an intramural football game. That was a lot of fun. So I'm 0-1 in my kicking career, but I do consider myself a bit of a kicking expert. I can tell how the kickers are kicking, how they're feeling. I'm a big proponent of sleeper kickers, which is when in your fantasy round, you take a kicker anytime after the 9th round, but before the last 2 rounds. Anytime within there, once you've got your main guys in, I believe I'm a strong believer in the sleeper kicker tactic. I'm also a strong believer in keeping a kicker on your bench all year. Also a strong proponent of fantasy football kicker leagues, which unfortunately I am 1-4 in our kicker league, and it was my idea to set it up. So that's not great. You can Shout out John Butler, the fantasy master, for dominating that league currently. But I've got Greg Zuerlein right now, so I'm feeling pretty good about myself. But I'm somewhat of a kicking expert, so I'm here to tell you, Tony, the Broncos need to very, very closely look at what Brandon McManus's future is going to be, because he's missed 4 of 8 at home this year, which in Denver is really unacceptable, and right. They've all been shanks wide right or wide left. I get that one of his kicks was blocked, but you shouldn't really have an issue with your kick being blocked at Mile High Stadium unless you're Young Hoku. And by the way, he got cut. Thank God. I was rooting hard against that guy. I know he was supposed to be a field goal story, feel good story, but completely against the notion of him taking away Josh Lambeau's job. He was a great kicker there, but just so many things that are wrong with the Broncos right now. So we'll move on to a team in the same division. Oh, very much, Chris. Tell me what's your thoughts on this terribly awful, dysfunctional.
You almost forgot about me.
a loose 4-3 scheme of terrible ex girlfriends of a football team. What is this?
I'm thinking maybe. The Denver Broncos overlooked the New York Giants. I mean, we know the Giants has so many injuries going into this game.
How though? You had a bye week and then a week to prepare for one of the worst teams in the country.
That's the only thing logical that makes sense, though, because there's no...
Well, that's even more unacceptable, then. You can't go into games thinking that you're just going to wax people. You have to have some semblance of a game plan.
McManus is not the only reason they lost.
No, I think Chris is right, man. I just think they may have overlooked, and they, like you said, they had the bye. You know, maybe they were partying a little bit too hard in Denver that off week, and I don't think they took the Giants very seriously.
Unacceptable. Moving on to the other team in the AFC West that lost, and then some may say, "Well, Eric, you're rubbing it in this Chiefs fan that you have on. You're rubbing it in his face." Well, that's not true. I'd say probably. I don't really root against anyone in the AFC West. I can't really stand the Chargers, but that's for separate unfootball-related reasons. They just seem to hate me. I think that the Chiefs, Alex Smith, although was really the bright spot for the Chiefs, he really showed out in the fourth quarter, and if there isn't a unlucky bounce into Antonio Brown's hands, we're talking about the Steelers getting their ground game going, but losing for a second straight week in a row. Obviously, Tony, you watch this game very closely. What did you see? What can the Chiefs improve on? And should the Steelers be considered what they were just before the season started? Are they back to being the Steelers?
The Steelers are getting very close to being back to being the Steelers. I think we can consider them serious contenders going forward. You know, they're back in the mix as one of the top 3 or 4 teams in the AFC, in my opinion. As far as Kansas City, obviously this crushes my soul, but I really just don't think that we are ready to beat Pittsburgh yet. I think that we're going to look at this team. You know, everybody said we were looking at the Chiefs differently going into this game, but as a Chiefs fan, the mentality around, you know, the fan kingdom, the locker room, if you read about it, the team in and of itself is – there's something wrong there that we can't get past the Pittsburgh. There's something there. They have our number. They own us mentally. I don't know what it is, but we can't get past the Steelers.
Yeah.
That's what I was telling Eric yesterday. I just don't I haven't understood it. For some reason the Chiefs always – they just – I don't know. They don't just show up.
I woke up that morning.
It's just something about Pittsburgh.
Right. I knew we were the better team, and I knew that we had every reason to think that we would win that game. And even myself as a fan, I woke up, you know, feeling a little bit off that day. And then I got a phone call from a buddy that said, "Hey, you know what? Something's not right here. I think you guys are going to lose." And he was right on point. You know, everybody kind of saw it coming.
So are you saying you're a psychic, Tony?
Absolutely not. There's just a vibe.
I'm going to put that label on you. Welcome our newest psychic contributor to the podcast. Tony DeHoff. Now, Tony, you can either disown this special gift God has granted you, or you can run with it and be a true champion. It's really up to you at this point.
Let's roll with it.
Okay, run with it. Moving on to the next game that we have to talk about here. The Arizona Cardinals. Boy, they got back to looking like the 2015 Arizona Cardinals, and all thanks to Adrian Peterson. We didn't really talk much about the Adrian Peterson trade. Most of us thought it could go either way. Either he could be very bad or very good, but for 1 week it looks like the Arizona Cardinals are right back in the mix to make the playoffs in the NFC, and boy, do they look scary with Adrian Peterson on offense.
Yeah, you're right. I thought Peterson was done going into that. I've taken it to a fantasy level. I actually am a David Johnson owner, and in the league where I still haven't honestly replaced David Johnson, Peterson was available, and I didn't make any move to get him because I thought he was done. I left the guy sitting there. I did not expect the production that he had this weekend.
Yeah, I unfortunately cut Adrian Peterson right before he was traded. There was, of course, the trade was out of the blue, so I cut Peterson in all my leagues. I drafted him in most of my leagues for some reason. I don't know why. But I cut him, and I went to go pick him up on waiver wires as soon as he got traded. So there was a little bit of faith, but I think if I had picked him up, I got him back in one of the leagues, but I left him on the bench just because I wanted to see what he had to offer.
I think if AD is going to be AD, then you're going to be a huge help for Carson Palmer in that offense, and they have a legit defense. I think they can make some noise now.
Yeah, Chris,
I don't know if this was bad Buccaneers or a good off or a better improved offensive line of the Arizona Cardinals. The Buccaneers defense has played terribly this year. And may it be injuries or whatever. I'm just based off the field, what we've seen. The Buccaneers defense isn't that great. And I think I'm leaning towards bad Buccaneers. What do y'all think?
I'm thinking better Cardinals offensive line. And I think it really is because of Adrian Peterson. When you have to think about the threat of Adrian Peterson getting on you, you kind of have to stack the box a little bit. That gives Carson Palmer play action options, which we saw him hit Larry Fitzgerald on a few times in this game. And really, I wouldn't say the offensive line is super improved, but Adrian Peterson is good enough to overcome a bad offensive line that he's able to really wear down the defensive line to the point where they play down to the Arizona Cardinals line. I'd say the line gets better every week, but it's certainly not an elite line in the NFL. I think it's good enough, though, for Carson Palmer and Adrian Peterson to make plays. Or am I totally crazy there, Tony?
No, you're right. They're definitely improved this season, and that's exactly what they needed. But you're right as well as on the point of Peterson. A guy like that back there does help that line look a little bit better, and it's just the way it is. Good running backs help those lines.
The one thing I did see in this game is I know this is going to sound crazy, but I really think that Ryan Fitzpatrick is a better fit for that offense than Jameis Winston this year. I don't know what's going on with Jameis Winston. I think it might be something in his head, but Ryan Fitzpatrick played probably his best game since he was tearing it up with the Jets in about 3 quarters of football, in which he led. This game was over with Jameis Winston throwing the football at halftime, and Ryan Fitzpatrick led them back into the game. Winston had the two killer interceptions that you can kind of lock for him at this point every week. I don't know. Tony, it sounds like you watched this game. Am I crazy, or was Ryan Fitzpatrick better in this game than Jameis Winston? And even if this Jameis Winston shoulder injury is minor, should they bench him a week or two just to kind of get his mind right?
He was certainly better this week. You're absolutely right about that. As far as Jameis, if he's healthy, I think they get him back out there. But I think the coach has got to get in his head and say, you know, you can't make these throws. You can't keep killing your team with these dumb throws. Now, as far as Fitzpatrick goes, he may be a better bet for the next couple weeks, but only if he can be consistently what he was this week. We've seen Fitzpatrick play really bad football as well.
Yeah. I would agree with you that I wouldn't say for the rest of the season or anything, but
for a couple of weeks,
I would say you put Ryan Fitzpatrick in, let Jameis Winston settle whatever.
Now, Jameis is 100%. I don't think it's him. But if there's any injury whatsoever, any reason to say, hey, you know what, take a week off and relax a little bit here, get healthy, I think they use that to their advantage. Because, yeah, Fitzpatrick played well.
Some other quick game recaps for the games we won't get super in-depth on. But the Washington football team nearly came back and came back against the 49ers, who pulled Brian Hoyer in the second quarter. And I don't know if you guys watch this game, but I've started watching this game, and C.J. Beathard looks like a much better quarterback than Brian Hoyer. Would you agree with me, Tony?
I can't say that I watched the game, and I don't watch college, so I'd be completely guessing on the rookie quarterback there. But Hoyer is obviously not the answer. They need to do something else.
Yeah, which is interesting. And there were some trade rumors about Carlos Hyde, but those were swiftly denied afterwards, which I don't understand why. I think Carlos Hyde has been a top 10 running back this year. He's had an excellent year on a bad team. It just feels like the 49ers, even though they're 0-5, I don't think they're the worst team in the league. I think they're probably in the cellar around the 25 to 26 mark. But I certainly don't think they're the worst team in the league because they lose all these close games.
Every loss has been 3 points or less.
Yeah, they are so close to just figuring it out 1 week. They could easily be 5-0 in a total surprise right now.
Well, I just think that goes back to Kyle Shanahan. We talked about it earlier with the loss to Atlanta, but he's been a big boost for San Francisco. I think he's going to do a good job there.
Yeah, I think it's going to take some time, but for me, I think I just don't think Hoyer's the answer. I agree with you guys, but I think the 49ers are better than the Browns. I think we can clearly say that the Browns are just a mess.
That's an interesting thing to bring up. The Browns looked pretty bad with Kevin Hogan again. I think they're going to go back to DeShone Kizer. Just because I think the Kevin Hogan move was a move meant to save Hugh Jackson's job, but might have put it in more risk. He looks awful. And I think on another note from that game, I think the Texans defense, they were able to shut down a bad Browns team without their two-star players. So that's at least a sign of optimism for a defense that has lost a lot. I still think they should be probably the favorites in that division. But do you think the Browns could go 0-16, Chris?
No, we just haven't seen it in so long. I think they'll win one game. I'm looking at the schedule now. Maybe the Jaguars game, because we know the Jaguars are kind of inconsistent. They might have a bad game.
I feel like the Jaguars defense is going to put the clamps down on a bad Browns offense. And I think the Browns, I wouldn't be shocked. When is that game? Because I wouldn't be shocked if Leonard Fournette's healthy for that game. I feel like that could be a potential surprise blowout where the Jaguars just run away with it.
Yeah, I'd agree. Their defense is legit. And if Fournette's healthy, I don't think the Browns can touch them this year.
Yeah. Well,
I think the other potential game for them to lose is probably the Bears game or the Ravens game. I mean, there's a couple of games. I think they'll get one or two wins. They might be fluky wins, but they'll figure out a way to get one or two.
I could see them maybe beating Baltimore. Baltimore's pretty shabby this year. They're not very consistent either. One point I'd like to make on Houston, though, if we recall last year, that defense, and nothing against J.J. Watt, he's obviously the man, but that defense was number one last year without him for the majority of the season. I mean, those guys are pretty
good. That's another great point to make. Jadeveon Clowney is one of the more underrated defensive stars in the league.
Absolutely.
He's just as good as J.J. Watt. Maybe a peg down, but he's just as dominant. And it's going to show through again this year. Speaking of what the team popped into my head, and suddenly I forgot the game. But speaking on more team, the Chargers and the Raiders. The Chargers win another game, and Chris, we were talking about this a little bit. If they beat the Broncos this week, which is a very real possibility, they're right back in the division.
Tony? I'm sorry, I thought you were talking to Chris. No, I'm going to be a homer on this one, and I'm going to say that with Carr being hurt, the Chiefs are going to run away with the West. No offense to your Broncos, but you guys are a quarterback away, and I don't see the Chargers being real contenders this year.
Yeah.
They're improved.
Well, we have some breaking news. Ezekiel Elliott suspension has been delayed because a judge is on vacation. That's not even a lie. That's a legitimate headline off of ESPN. And we'll see Ezekiel Elliott play against the 49ers. So good for the Cowboys, I guess.
Yes.
Tony, your thoughts on this whole kerfuffle. I'm part of the small minority that thinks that Zeke Elliott should just take the suspension and stop being a distraction to this.
Yeah, Cowboys. Add me to that vote, man, because I'm just tired of hearing about it. I think if this was dealt with at the beginning of the season, like most suspensions, we wouldn't be talking about this. The Cowboys would be getting their stuff together and pressing on for maybe a playoff run, maybe trying to win the division. But this is just a distraction at this point.
Yeah,
yep, I would say that. Totally.
He hasn't looked good this year either. Like, he has not been.
I think that's part of the situation. I think it's all affecting him.
Yeah. Well, that is breaking news to finish off our show today. A briefer show, but briefer shows are always nice. We will be back Friday. Chris will not be. Tony might be. Who knows? Maybe we'll have a very special guest Friday. All is up in the air right now, but I certainly will be back with you Friday, and we'll go through picking the week's games. Tony, very nice to have you on for the first time. Did you have fun?
I had a great time. That was actually what I was about to say. I had a great time, and I appreciate you guys having me. Anytime, let me know.
Yeah, for sure. Why don't you plug your Twitter really quick?
I am at TD. Oh, no, I don't even know my own name. Hold on. Cuts. I am at TD KC Chiefs. And that is not touchdown. That is Tony D. Hoff KC Chiefs. TD KC Chiefs.
Well, very much part of this trend, which I disagree with, to put your team's name in your username. Chris is currently Chris LA Dodgers. Ian of our site is currently temporary Astros fan or something like that. I don't really know. I think it's ridiculous and stupid, but you know, it's whatever. I like to keep it on the professional side.
Not only is the KC Chiefs in my handle, but Chiefs Kingdom is in my username. You can find me with the Chiefs stuff.
Yeah. Well, that's nice, I guess. Moving on to next week, we'll see you then. You can find, of course, Chris at ChrisPSFLAD now for some reason. You got to change that, by the way. Just you can keep ChrisPSFLAD like as your username, but not your at symbol. You just got to stick with ChrisPSF. And you can find me online at Eric18. Utah on Twitter, and of course, follow the podcast at Endzone Pod and find us on iTunes. And if you are listening to us on iTunes, congratulations. We are currently all Android users, those of us who produce the show and are on regularly, Chris and I. So we don't know if you're sending reviews, but if you do send a review, that's 5-star, I'll go check it out on my computer here and we'll read it on the show. So if you leave us a 5-star review and a nice comment, no matter what the comment is, even if you hate the show, just leave 5 stars and say, "Hey, I hate the show," and we'll give you a read and diss on ourselves a little because we're not afraid to take some criticism. Anyways, we'll see y'all on Friday. Peace out.